This is KCBX, Central Coast Public Radio, here on NPR One.
I'm Tom Wilmer reporting from the Big Island of Hawaii. Right now, we're at the Donkey Mill Art Center, and we're here with...
Miho Morinoe.
And your title?
I'm the program director here at the mill.
Hi, aloha. My name is Mina Ellison. I'm the communications director and curator.
Tell us about the history. This was a mill for coffee?
Built in 1954 and was run by the Harada family originally.
There was a cooperative element where the locals...
Part of the community and how they supported each other with a really important crop like coffee. Yeah, the support for each other and so that they could have a little bit more control over the prices of the coffee as well.
Yeah. So at some point, it closed down and this giant building was abandoned and sitting empty for a long time. And then somebody came up with a brilliant idea.
To turn it into an art center.
Yeah.
A small group of artists started what was called the Hōlolo Foundation for Arts and Culture.
About what time was this in history?
1995. Mm-hmm. And the organization didn't have a building. We used community centers like the Imin Center in town and cafeterias and schools to provide art education for the community. And we were really lucky to run into this building in 2000. And we did a fundraiser, acquired the building, and opened it in 2001.
In here, there's artwork on display. You have a gallery. But if I look behind you to your left, there's a workshop. There's areas for kids, grown-ups can do projects. Tell us about what happens here.
We have studios for printmaking. This main studio turns into a lecture hall or artist talk hall. We have a community kitchen. We have a youth studio where kids come after school to make art. We also have a paper making studio and a fiber studio, a ceramic studio, and then a metals.
Wow. So that's both ends of the spectrum. It could be a professional potter, for example, or paper worker. But then it also could be a kid that has never done it before.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. All ages and abilities.
Yeah.
And how many people are actively involved here at the Arts Center, members or supporters?
You know what? Our impact to the community is over, it's about 3,900 people that we impact. We impacted last year with programs at the mill.
That's like half the town, right?
Basically,
well, including all the snowbirds and the tourists that come through here,
Because then the adjacent village is quite small. It's a rural, agricultural-based village, right?
Yeah. Our member base is about 350.
Paying dues supporters.
Exactly.
You guys were talking about putting on special programming where you have a guest lecturer or speaker come. Give us an example of that.
We write special grants like the Lila Twigsmith Art Fund that helps us bring in artists in residence programs, so artists from different parts of the world and locally as well.
I could be one.
Yes, you could. Yeah. Yes, you could.
We'll have to look for a grant for me.
Exactly.
Oh, definitely.
I think that's a great idea.
Me too.
Build the artist in residence space.
Right? Exactly. Physically. Yeah, I could build it.
That would be
amazing. Let's do it.
Okay, you're on.
Okay. All right.
Five-year plan.
That's right. Well, I was thinking of a 12-month plan myself.
Okay. Let's hurry it up.
Yeah.
Okay, so tell me more. This is a separate little universe on the Big Island.
Yeah. It really is. I don't think in Hawaii, you know, our position in the Pacific and then, you know, where we are here in Kona, one could say that we're isolated, but we're really a gathering place, more of a gathering place for people to not escape, but to get away in many ways and in a way focus on their art. Because
so maybe it's not getting away, but it's getting to.
Getting to.
Yeah.
Thank you. And we had a beautiful ceramic fundraiser where we talked about how we promote activities that you can't use your phone. You can't use your phone when you're working on the wheel and creating magic.
Yeah, you could short out your phone.
So to promote that awareness and that presence is important. So we like to think of ourselves as a little oasis, a getaway, that hopefully people can discover and have experiences like that.
And you're high up, your altitude. Well, you're probably, what, 2,000 feet?
Yeah.
It's a pretty dramatic vista looking out your windows.
We have a $1 million view. Our lanai, you know, after you finish making art, you want to take a break, you can have a cup of coffee and have a relaxing time with a gorgeous view of the ocean.
That sounds good. Yeah. How far from Kailua Kona are you?
About 15 minutes.
Doable, but it's a world away, as we were alluding to.
I guess for Kona people, nobody likes to drive around here.
It's a major journey.
But from Hilo side, Waimea side, they'll make the trek.
So they do come over.
Depending on the event, or the workshop.
But they do. That's cool. Tell us a little more.
One of our other programs is actually our exhibition space, which we look at as an extension, not extension of the classroom, it's a classroom, you know. It's a way to have discussions through art. Art is telling the story, the artist's story. And so what a great way to have those discussions about stories, perspectives through our exhibitions,
As you alluded to earlier, the snowbirds, or as they say in Texas, the winter Texans, would be the winter Hawaiians. So somebody was here, say, December, January, and they're from the mainland somewhere. They are welcome, and do you put a word out so they might know you exist?
Yeah, I mean, our newsletters go out every 2 weeks, and we also, our website's always there. So people who are interested in participating in the arts, but somehow they gravitate towards us, but they find out where we are and what we can offer.
Usually people from the mainland, they're looking for a cultural scene to connect with. They're hungry for it, and they tend to just kind of float into our door, and they immediately fall in love, and they become annual, you know, studio practitioners.
That's really cool, but they seek you out themselves.
Yeah.
And that really is kind of the cutting edge of travel, those with an awareness and consciousness, is finding something with purpose.
I think they believe in our mission and they like what we do here. We are a place to connect, not only connect to other people, but I think to yourself. You know, when you can be in a place that is surrounded by nature and time stops a little bit, you know, you're not part of the hustle and bustle of the mainland anymore, it's time for you to like slow down. Have fun.
Well, as I walked in, and I'm feeling right now, is a place that sings. There's a resonance of music here. And I know you have to have some live music periodically because it's still echoing around.
We do. We're hoping to get some couple of opera singers for the holiday.
Really?
Yeah, it's interesting because we are in the middle of nowhere, but there's so much talent, you know, sort of unknown talent.
Well, that guy earlier, he was like one of the head guys at Sony developing videos.
Yeah, I know. So, yeah, there's a lot of, like, people who just find themselves here just nurturing this community. We're so lucky.
That's so cool. Yeah. Okay, more secrets.
More secrets. So next year is a mega important big year for us. We're celebrating our 25th anniversary, where we've come from, who we are, and where we would like to head. And one of those things is us really, you know, building on the foundation, a strong foundation of who we already are, financially building that foundation, and also making sure that we're able to maintain this aina, this land, our facilities, and to grow stronger, not necessarily bigger.
Very cool.
So that's not so much of a secret. But actually, tell all your friends, Tom. Yeah.
Please do. No longer a secret. Okay, your turn. What's closest to your heart?
What's closest to my heart? Well, I started here as the youth program director, so a lot of my energy has gone towards the younger generation, and this place for me is important so that we have a space for these younger generations to grow up with, and building a team and a sustainable way of running this organization is so important to us. And so, constantly thinking about sustainability. How do we nurture, you know, some of the important ideas that are running through, like how we survive on this island, and how we teach the kids to really think about it, and how can they explore it through art making, I think is a big...
Even as you alluded to earlier, you guys have a mission of sustainability as a place as an organization? Would that include going to solar panels on the roof? What are some of the thoughts that you guys have had?
Well, collaborating with scientists, with other organizations, and talking about the bigger problems that might occur when faced with climate change and all those things, to have a place where we can have safe dialogue within the community. I think we have to be a lot more progressive and I think enrich ourselves so that we can nurture the community together. I think that's our homework.
Your mission.
The other...
What more?
No, I think what sets us apart of this place is we're rootsy enough, we're so community-based that we're in a place where we can take risks. You know, and do things that...
Be a little daring.
Yeah, exactly.
Risk getting in trouble.
Exactly. So
we want to do more risk-taking.
We want to do more where, you know, push people to think a little more. I mean, there's a lot...
Or just to think.
Yes.
You said it.
And the only way you can do that is by taking risks and making people feel a little bit uncomfortable and placing themselves outside the box.
Right.
Because unless we build that kind of environment, people are not going to think because... We generally want to be comfortable people.
Yeah.
So thinking outside of the box is not common unless we actually design an environment where, like, you know.
But then there's the other side of the coin. I was back east in Greensboro, North Carolina, and there were issues with the police department being mean to the people in communities.
Yeah.
So here I'm with these community peoples who are folk singers and musicians, and we're going, well, here's an idea. Let's invite the police department to the festival, you know, how cool.
So
that
bridge those gaps.
So that's part of your homework too. All of ours is how do we find ways to build the bridge to bridge the gaps.
You want to work here? You're hired.
Okay. I would
perfect.
Well, after I'm done remodeling your place.
Oh, you already have so many jobs.
No.
This is my spirit home, you know that.
Hawaii?
Yeah.
Yes, I can tell.
I believe it.
Yeah, no, I'll fly over here, I'll be for a day, Kauai, whatever, and somebody in the store says, well, what am I telling you this? You live here. And I go, actually, I just flew in yesterday. But that's how much I belong here.
Yeah.
And it's always been that way.
Yeah,
anyway, back to you guys.
I have a meeting with Courtney.
Well, we did good. We're there.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, somebody's got to go to work. So.
I wish you could just hang out.
So it's time to say see you soon. We've been visiting here at the Donkey Meal Art Center. To learn more, where would somebody go?
Please visit us at donkeymealartcenter.org. My name is Miho Morinoe. I'm the program director.
And my name is Mina Ellison, Communications Director and Curator.
Awesome. And I'm Tom Wilmer. We'll see you on the Big Island. Aloha.
You've been listening to the Lowell Thomas Award-winning travel show Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer, a featured podcast on NPR.org's podcast directory. Produced by California Central Coast NPR affiliate KCBX. You are invited to subscribe to Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer on NPR.org, NPR One, iTunes, Stitcher.com, and more than 20 other podcast channels around the world.
Associate producers include Rebecca Nolan, Newfoundland, Canada, Molly Blaisdell, San Francisco, and Katya Singel, San Luis Obispo, California.
Underwriting support for Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer is provided in part by the Society of St. Vincent de Paul. People often associate the Society of St. Vincent de Paul with thrift stores. Donations like clothing, your gently used couch, or still serviceable washing machine generate funds to assist the Society in putting food on the table for people in need, or keeping the lights on and families in their homes. To find a St. Vincent de Paul thrift store in your area, visit svdpusa.org. Once again, svdpusa.org.